All right, welcome back to 32 Fans in 32 Days. The suspense is over. It's just me, no Chester, but I am joined by a frequent 32 Fans guest, the Oakland, soon-to-be Las Vegas Raiders fan, Adam Brooks. Adam, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Ready to talk some football. It's about time. It's finally coming back.
You don't care that they're moving to Vegas in terms of rooting for the team, right? Because you don't live in Oakland. You've never lived in Oakland.
Correct. We talked about this last year. For me personally,
it's great. This is a rerun, guys. This is a 2017 episode. I'm replaying.
Exactly. It's great to move to Vegas. It's easier for me to get there. It's a lot going to be a big. You saw well the Vegas Knights did in hockey. I think it's going to be a big boon for them. But it's sad for Oakland. I mean, Oakland's a great town. Not great town. It's a great football town. They have great fans, and it's just really sad that it's come to this in order to get a stadium. Because unfortunately, we have a very poor owner. I think he's technically the poorest owner in the league. They had to go outside the box in order to get a new stadium because it's not right that Oakland can't support a new stadium. So, had to find a way to get one because the one they're playing in now is really, really garbage.
I mean, if the Jets move, like, I don't live in New York, but I would still, I think I'd stop rooting for them if they move to, like, Portland or something.
But yeah, a little different though, because again, you're here. Yeah, exactly. I don't have the same attachment to Oakland like as with New York, but you'd think you'd leave them if they moved. But I think you would actually stay with them because it's hard to give up on a team, especially a bad team that you've been rooting for so long and gone with all the bad stuff with. That maybe finally they'll be good, and you want to be on that train when they finally turn it around.
All right, so I want to go back. We haven't had you on since the Gruden thing happened. Take me through your thoughts then, and tell me if they've changed since he got hired.
I mean, Gruden's, ever since they traded him away, Gruden's been the dream to come back. I'm not going to lie. It doesn't matter that he's been out of the league for 10 years. Doesn't mean out of the league. Gruden's always been on the minds of Raider fans of when is this guy going to come back and lead this team back to greatness. So, based on what I've seen so far, I'm happy still. I'm still ecstatic. He makes us relevant again. He brings this Grudenism to it, whether you can love that or hate that, but it's nice to have it back. It's nice. It's refreshing to have a real coach again, I will say.
Yeah, but I mean, is he a real coach? I mean, you also thought he sucked as an announcer, right? Because he sucked at his announcer.
He did suck as an announcer. He loved everyone. I don't think he could really be what he wanted to be as an announcer because he had to say, I love everyone. But as a coach, I think it's still there. The guys, I don't know if you've been reading, like, Peter King recently met with him. Mm-hmm. Met him at 5 a.m. as usual stuff.
He's still working everyone hard. I will give him that.
He's still working hard. And he's still, and he's bringing in a great staff. We were talking a little about before how this staff is a pretty decent staff. I don't think it's the top staff in the league.
You said
by
the Raiders
means,
are poor, but they are willing to spend on coaches. They got high-priced, you know, previous coordinators that cost more money. Obviously, they spent $100 million on the head coach. Like, those are things that are a great
although
way to
he keeps denying it's $100 million, actually. It's very funny.
It is weird that we don't know.
He won't acknowledge it. It's very weird, but he won't acknowledge it.
We don't know what Belichick makes. I mean, there are people who guess, but, like, it's weird that you know what players make.
Yeah,
but we don't know any head coaches make, really. We can sort of guess and agents leak, but we don't know what general managers make. We don't know what coaches make.
Yeah, he denied it again today. I think it was with Peter King on so whatever
like
Peter King's new comments.
You know what?
Yeah,
I can see Gruden making like 99.9 exactly just so we could deny it.
That would be true. I would not put that past Gruden. But like I said, so previously prior to Gruden, Gruden's been the first real coach to actually be able to get Mark Davis the pony up to bring in these real coordinators. Before this, last 10 years or so, you look at our offensive coordinator, there are none. There are retreats, there are garbage. We don't pay our coordinators. And it's a refreshing change to actually pay top dollar and get a decent, I would say, Paul Gunther, the defensive coordinator, is an above-average coordinator. Greg Olson, above-average offensive coordinator. He got the best out of Jared Goff. He got the best out of Blake Bortles, for God's sake. I mean, it says something. So that's a nice change with Gruden also, that he's influence Davis to spend the money and actually bring in a real staff.
All right, so Chester and I ranked the teams before the season. I didn't say it up top. Chester ranked the Raiders 20th.
Okay.
I ranked the Raiders 28th. And
wow, Keith.
So that's tied for
24. I don't know about that.
Now, that's a real shot at, it's just a shot at Gruden. To me, it's me saying he's going to come back and he's going to be Joe Gibbs 2.0. He's going to be Art Shell 2.0.
Oh, don't go there. That's not fair.
No, but better than Art
he's
Shell.
He's not Art Shell. Come on. He's Art Shell born in a bed and breakfast guy. A guy who's wearing a bed and breakfast to run his offense. Purdon's not that. Come on.
I don't think there's a ton of talent outside one guy who's not even in camp with you guys, who's clearly the best player on the team. I think you take away Khalil Mack, who's taking himself away right now, and we could talk about if you think he's going to play another snap for them or what's going to happen in a second. But like, everybody has a Derek Carr at this point. Like, it was cool to have like, you know, it looked for a season like, oh, you have this above average quarterback.
Yeah,
everyone's caught up to him. There's nothing else that's special about the team. Like, Amari Cooper, I think it's overrated by fantasy football fans. Like, he had an atrocious year last. He had one incredible game and 15 abysmal.
But he's not overrated today. He was very fit. Everyone was fantasy players were very frustrated by him. So I wouldn't say overrated. I mean, they have again, but come on, Derek Carr. 2 years ago, not one. Last year was awful. Fully met. He was hurt. Whatever. He was awful last year. 2 years ago, the guy was arguably the MVP of the league until he got hurt. And you're just going to discount that completely? You say everyone caught up to him? The guy's got talent. It's not like it's a schlub off the street.
I'm saying everybody has a Derek Carr at this point. What's special about this team besides Derek Carr? You have a mediocre secondary that maybe could be a bright
spot
for the team.
Fully agree, mediocre secondary. But again, they have, with a competent offensive coordinator, like Nelson, who's actually going to be calling the plays, and who has... Again, you're running the line of thinking that Gruden's Joe Gibbs 2.0, Archell 2.0. That's fine. I agree. Then they're going to be that bottom 28 team. They're going to have no offense. But I think it's going to be more of a modern offense to what it is. The guy's been with teams going in to see practices for 10 years. The guy has seen everything that's come out through the league. The guy isn't, despite the comments like, oh, we're going to take it back to 98 and all that stuff and bring in the...
I mean, 98 is when most of your position players were like rookies, 1998.
It's all tongue-in-cheek. Come on.
It's true. You guys... Jordy Nelson, for people who haven't looked at... Because the Raiders have gotten... I know you said Peter King just spent time with them. The Raiders have gotten very little national press outside the Gruden
outside
thing.
Of Gruden so and
the
Mack.
Players have gotten very little national press, I should say.
Very true.
Jordy Nelson's on this team. Martavis Bryant's on this team. Jared Cook is on this team. Marshawn Lynch, Doug Martin. I mean, this must be the oldest offense in like 10 years.
It's older, but again,
of the skill position guys, is anybody exciting you here?
Marshawn has looked very good in camp, and if you saw that one, you probably did not see the one. He had one touch in the first preseason game, and he took it 60 yards. It was called back on a hold, but he took it. He looked very good on it, and from all reports from camp, he looks very fresh and very young. Now, again, could that last over 16 games? Probably not. But at least the start. The 32-year-old running back. So we'll see. Again, there's nothing that jumps out as, oh my God, they're still going to be so explosive, they're going to go crazy. But again, every year, there's this team that comes out of nowhere where everyone buried them before the season. They have no skill players, they have no anything of that. And they surprise. Because in the NFL, it's all about scheme. It's all about coaching. And so the question becomes, does Gruden have it or not? And we're going to see this year. No ifs, ands, or buts about it.
The offensive line...
Take a look. Let's go back.
Take a look at the Rams.
The offensive line is a great strength of the team. Arguably, even outside the Cowboys, they have the best interior offensive line in the game. I'll argue that against anyone. Between the center and two guards.
Who the our Texans fans.
Giacomini is not even starting.
He's not starting. Giacomini's
not even going to get a snap. Yeah. Okay, they're moving Donald Penn over to the right side.
Why is Penn not on the depth chart?
Penn's on the right side. They just moved him to the right side. And they're going to start the rookie Colton Miller. So. That's the thing. If Colton Miller can hold up, this first-round rookie pick, some say he was overdrafted.
That was a controversial pick, right?
Controversial pick. They wanted McKinley, who the Niners took right in front of them. But they took the next best one because they knew they needed a tackle. So Colton Miller's looked pretty good in camp. Has he looked amazing? No. But has he looked competent enough and where the potential is definitely there? Yes. So if that lines up where Penn can play the right side, move from left to right, and hold up, that's a pretty damn good offensive line. I would argue top 10 right there, and possibly even higher. But again, it's on potential. We won't know until the pads come on, until people start hitting each other. So the potential for that offensive line is there. And once that offensive line, if that offensive line is as good as it can be, that opens things up for Marshawn. That opens things up for Derek Carr. That opens things up for Amari Cooper, Jordy Nelson, Jared Cook. And that offense could flourish.
Wow. This is such a good 2014 fantasy team.
It is. It really was a good 2014 fantasy team. Hopefully they can play a little bit for 2018. Maybe not. But again, like I said, it's all going to come down to the offensive line and Derek Carr. No, that's what it's going to come down to.
All right, how do you think the Khalil Mack thing ends up this year?
Khalil Mack is going to play for the Raiders this year, no question. Mm-hmm. I think he will come in maybe a day before, whatever, game one, he will be in the lineup. All this trade talk is baloney. There's no reason to trade him.
It's just hard to trade a guy who, he's a free agent after this year, right? So
he'll be free, but they have the franchise for 2 years.
He's under team control for the next three years.
There's no reason to trade him now, and if you were going to trade him, you're trading him at the draft in order to get the commodities to help you this year. Because if you trade him now, you're not getting anything this year.
Right.
No
they have
purpose.
A plan. We don't know what the plan is, but clearly, like...
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess these guys usually report. Listen, the power at this point is with the ownership, so there's really not much you can do.
Yeah, he's going to play at some point. I mean, there was a report that came out today to, I think, Jason LaConfra on CBS from Max Agents saying...
It's LaConfra, but I don't know.
I can't pronounce his name. Yeah, saying... There's no way he's going to show up in this, but if that's Asian talk, you know, he's not going to miss a game check.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
I agree.
Mack is not that kind of guy. Mack's not a vindictive guy. He's a great all-around player. He loves this team. He's going to show up game one. Will he be the happiest? Probably not. But again, last year set a kind of precedent. Donald Penn held up 26 days last year, and they didn't negotiate until he got back into camp. Once he came into camp, the deal was done in like 2 days. So, again, different situation, but that's kind of where this is going. And so if Mac doesn't report until 2 days before, then he's probably not going to have a contract until later in the season. But he's going to play for the Raiders game one in that Monday night against the Rams.
All right, there are some intriguing names in the front seven. Tell me the guy who excites you the most, or you could mention five guys. Who cares? We got time. Who's exciting you other than Mac, especially now that Mac's not there? A lot of people are having a chance to potentially shine in the preseason.
I mean, the two rookies they drafted, Mo Hurst and PJ Hall, they look good and they have potential. And if they get that in the Paul Gunther system, you need that interior rush. You need that Geno Atkins. Am I saying they're Geno Atkins? By no means. But these guys are giving push, which they haven't had. I can't remember the last time they had an inside pass rush. So if those guys can be that and give that interior rush with Irvin and Mack on the outside, that changes the defense again. Again, am I saying they're going to be a top 10 defense? God, no. But could they be 20 to 15 as opposed to a bottom 10 team? I don't see why not if you get the pass rush.
Yeah. You didn't mention Arden Key. Isn't he in that rotation also?
You would get to him. But Key would be a especially pass rusher, kind of in the Alden Smith road. So he missed the first preseason game. He played 9 snaps last game. Again, another potential. He looks good. He's hitting on straight and narrow. He has a first-round talent, but fell because of personal issues. Bruce Irvin's taking him up as kind of like a mentor, and Key follows him around every like a little puppy, soaking things up. So again, it's a lot of boom or bust. Could he be great? Sure. Could he suck? Sure. But at the same time, you just don't know until he actually gets into games and actually gets some reps.
Of the players in the secondary, we were talking about it possibly being shaky. Is there someone in particular who scares you?
Define scare. That I'm worried about?
Well, that you're nervous about.
Well,
that they
might I mean, the safeties are right now, Reggie Nelson, who's, I think, 34, 36. I'm too old to be starting back. And he's going to be rotating with Marcus Gilchrist, who's currently banged up, and Carl Joseph, who still hasn't proven that he can play safety for a full year. So the safety position is where I'd be most concerned in that secondary.
Reggie Nelson's 5 days older than me, and I can barely walk up the stairs, so I don't know how he's still in the NFL.
There you go. That's the problem. And he showed it last year, so the reason he's still there is because he knows Gunther's system. So hopefully he can be overtaken by someone else. I know... What's his name? George Iakoa? Did I say that right? The Bengals safety just got.
I think it's Iloka. I think it's just regular. It's pronounced like it's spelled
Iloka. So,
well, you think they're going to sign him? By the way, Gilchrist also looks like he's going to start, and he was basically out of the league like when he was on the Jets. He
looked well, again, Gilchrist isn't starting. Joseph's going to be the other starter, so that's pretty much locked in. So Iloka would make a lot of sense. Obviously, he knows the Gunther system, but again, do they have the money to sign him? I don't know if they do. Obviously, they're haggling over Mack, and who knows if they have anything to sign it with. So, but if they can grab him, that would definitely be an upgrade. It could be a plug-and-play player. But yeah, the safety position is definitely a big concern for this secondary. Hence why they need that pass rush up front to get home.
Mm-hmm. All right, the people are demanding it. Let's play the roster game. You know how this works, right?
Oh, yes. I'm prepared for the roster game.
All right, give me. I really hope, because now most of our guests are in year three or four in a row of coming on. I hope like people really studied.
I didn't study, so I'm gonna wing this. I'll tell you now.
But your life is studying. Your whole life is prepared. All
right, I can only hope.
Give me 0 and 100, Adam.
0 and 100. Let's go with 31.
All right, very good. Who is Trayvon Hester?
Trayvon Hester is rotational defensive lineman.
Is he going to make the team?
Possibly. He's a bubble player.
Do you know where he went to college?
Small school. I want to say like Alabama.
No, he went to Toledo. I guess that's anyway. Pretty small school. Listen, the Mac is big if you like
anime. Yeah.
All right, I want to go schedule. I want to go week by week with you. I like doing it with, like, you're, I'd say, in, like, the usual, I don't want to say, like, one of the most optimistic fans. Like, I feel like when the Raiders are good, you're very optimistic. It sounds like you're a realist right now. You know this is an average team.
I think I'm pretty usually a realist, Keeves. I take offense to that I'm optimistic.
Yeah, no.
I usually go back into where they should
also,
be.
I met you, the Raiders were literally in the Super Bowl, so it's...
Yes, you, and probably one of the worst nights of my life. Yeah. Yeah. And then we did Cabrera's together. Wait, but I want before we do that, I want you said the Raiders are the 28th team in this league.
Yeah.
I just want to do AFC.
Okay, sure.
Who are the teams below them and who is right above them?
Well, so I have the Jets at 29, and I'm pretty down on the Jets right now, even though their quarterback situation, like oddly, is very good. But
oddly, not very good. True, but yes.
And the other, I had the Colts at 30.
So you're not believing in Andrew Luck. Okay.
No. Spoiler alert, I had the Bills at 31. We haven't discussed them yet on the podcast.
Okay.
And my worst team in the league was the Bucks.
Okay. So how do you have... explain to me your Dolphins logic that they're above the Raiders based on what you were talking about before.
In the mid-20s. I think the difference is like a lot of years, like someone has to accidentally win like 8 games, like a second team. Some of the years they don't.
Right.
I'm a little higher on Tannehill than most people. I think he should, you know, I'm a big Adam Gase guy, first of all.
Well, Gase should be better. I would agree. The guy was the offensive genius before McVay and those.
But what was he going to do last year with Jay Cutler?
But again, what position players do they have? Who's he throwing the ball to? Who's running the ball there?
They have a bunch of second and third receivers.
You're knocking.
Drake looked okay.
Receivers and
Frank
they've got no one.
He's no younger than Reggie Nelson. No older than Reggie Nelson. Listen, so we had a big argument. We ranked the divisions, Chester and I, a week or so ago.
Yeah.
And I didn't rank the AFC West last, but I did say, like, it seems like it's the only division where no one can win the Super Bowl. Do you think that's crazy?
If San Diego is healthy, they could win the Super Bowl. But they just never have
By the way, I don't correct people when they say San Diego because...
Right, Los Angeles. Los Angeles, I am incorrect.
8 guests in a row have done it.
I think they'll always be San Diego to me just because of the rivalry. And Los Angeles is really a Raider town and not a Charger town.
I do think we are sleeping on the Chargers. I kind of agree.
The Chargers are a loaded team. The problem with the Chargers is just they have no luck. And they just keep getting injured.
They already have 12 guys injured.
Exactly. It's comical at this point. But if they could be healthy, they are as loaded as any team in the AFC.
I think, you know what, you're right. And we talk about like, well, the Patriots are definitely the best team, but it's not like the last year's Patriots was
the best team. I mean,
in the AFC? No, in the AFC. Yeah.
I know, but at the same time, they're still, I mean, they always, Belichick, they have the best coach and team there is. Brady. But they seem to be taking a step back. They took a step back in last year.
Sure, but their step back is still better than the other 15 teams.
Right, but you don't think any of these AFC South teams took a step up?
No, I love the Texans and I love the Jaguars. But someone's going to have to come get it. And, you know, We're still talking about Blake Bortles for one of those two.
We are still talking about Blake Bortles. That is the problem.
So I think you're right. Maybe we're sleeping on the Chargers completely. I have them. Both of us had the Chargers at 11, so it's not like I'm anti-Chargers. I have them winning the division. Right. But maybe we need to put them with the Texans and the Jaguars and the Steelers in that who can, if Brady gets hurt again, we should.
How about the rest of the AFC West teams? How far ahead do you have the Broncos and the Chiefs and the Raiders? Because I find them all to be grouped together.
By the way, this is the first AFC West podcast we're doing. But I don't
mind spoiling things. Okay, I'll spoil
things. The Chiefs are 13.
13? Wow, okay. Yeah. Pat Mahomes,
listen,
believer.
Listen, everything, it's almost like they'll finish whatever number Mahomes is. Quarterback in the NFL. Like, right. Mahomes is the 25th best quarterback, they'll be like the 25th best team.
And I can say the same thing about the Raiders with Derek Carr.
Yeah, but Carr is, we know what Carr is already. We don't know what Mahomes is really going to be.
Do we know what Carr is already? Like I just said, Carr was the MVP of the league 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm. 11 Chargers, 20 Broncos, 13 Chiefs. So, I guess
28 to 20 with the Broncos? Wow. I mean, the Broncos have a great defense, but again, you're betting Case Keenum's coming back again. And doing what he did last year, and he's looked bad in the preseason so far.
Yes, I agree. Listen, Ben, we made the actual picks a couple weeks ago. I'm not saying there's a reason to be higher on the Raiders yet, but just process of elimination, a couple teams have fallen behind them, and I agree. The Broncos, there's a real chance that they're a nightmare this year, which would be fine. The only game I'm going to this year is Jets Broncos, so I'm hoping the Broncos are bad.
What happened to the rest of the game? What, your dad? You have the tickets?
No, I'm just not around. All right, game one. Okay.
Game one, let's go through. All right.
The Jets play that first end of the doubleheader, and then we get Raiders-Rams.
Yeah, right on Rosh Hashanah, so we have to miss
hated,
it.
Yeah, you can watch. A hated rivalry. Truly hated. Rams.
Pupil versus mentor. As McVay takes on Gruden. McVay,
you guys are
little known. Gruden gives him his first job.
Yeah.
Yeah, they are at home. Chucky's first game home.
Crowd's going to be great.
I want to say they win the game. I 10-20 really do. 10-20 game. Yeah.
Love it.
Not fun.
It's
going
to be an extremely drunk crowd. I mean, think about how it's funny because the Raiders crowds are so drunk, but they never play after 5 o'clock California time. So this is like an actual, I'm assuming a couple of the Raiders fans have jobs, but you get off work on that Monday. And you go to, you go to the stadium and I've only been to one Raiders game. It was a Raiders Jets Sunday night game. And the pile of confiscated beer bottles. I mean, I'm not a picture guy. I don't walk around with a camera. I never did growing up. I don't have any pictures of my youth. The one picture I wish I still had was just this pile because it really was the Tower of Babel. It went up to the sky. I've never seen anything in my life. Single person had stapled six beer bottles to their leg and were getting caught. It was
Sounds
the drunkest
right.
place they've ever been in my life. Anyway, so that's going to be an amazing crowd. You think they're going to win that game?
Just on emotion. Talent-wise, it makes no sense. It does. They should.
Listen, people are really expecting a reverse course for the Rams. They think that their level of success was unsustainable. I disagree because I think McVay is a genius and everything.
He is, but at the same time, I don't believe in Goff. I'll be honest. I think that was smoke and mirrors last year they did with Goff. And let me see it 2 years in a row because I've seen it with Dak, who came crashing back to earth. I can say it with Carr. He came crashing back to earth next year. So let me see 2 years in a row out of Goff, and then I'll believe at the offensive genius of Sean McVay.
All right. You go to Denver and Miami the next 2 weeks.
They'll split those. Let's say they lose to Denver, and they'll beat Miami.
All right, then you go. You're 2-1, and you host Cleveland. Must win game.
That's a win. So we're 3-1.
Mm-hmm. All right, so you go to LA to play the Chargers.
Usually, I'm confident that they'll beat the Chargers, but again, 3-1, they'll lose that one. They'll be 3-2.
You know that Denver Miami Cleveland stretch is so soft. That's really
exactly. That's why that's why I want to go through the schedule. The schedule is made for them to actually get to 9-10 wins if it all breaks right. So we'll go through it though, and you'll see.
All right, so 3-2, and then last game before the bye, you play Seattle at home. I'm a little down on Seattle.
No. They play Seattle in London. They go Wembley.
So the schedule I'm looking at doesn't.
I think they win that game anyway.
You can't have an ESPN. You can't have an asterisk for a London game. It just says Burps.
You would
that's
think.
Come on, that's absurd, ESPN.
They're playing Wembley. I think they beat the Seattle. I think they beat Seattle in Wembley.
Raiders, Seahawks, and Wembley. I would like to watch like a little documentary about like the real Raiders fans going over and like interacting.
I'm sure they'll actually be over there, and I'm sure it will be a Raider crowd. I will say.
I agree. They will have the fans there. They have much more of a net. I mean, Seattle is much better fan wise than like 10 years ago when they had no fans outside like 50.
Oh yeah, but they don't have the same team they did anymore. I don't know where they're not. If they're
no, I mean the fans I think are still there. But yeah, I agree. The Raiders will have a pretty big crowd. So you're 4-2. You have a bye, post London bye, and then you host the Colts.
See that this is where the season will turn. It depends where this Andrew Luck team is. I'm going to say Andrew Luck is not where he's at, and they'll win the game. So they're 5-2.
All right, there's actually a fun Thursday night game, Raiders Niners. One of the, right. I guess the last Bay Area game ever.
Last Bay Area game ever. Last time these two
good
teams
for Thursday night games are usually like, oh, this team just needs a primetime game because they're bad.
Yep, exactly.
That's a very good. That's a very good game.
But the last time these two fan bases hate each other more than anything. And again, as you mentioned before, the Raider fans are kind of crazy, and so are the Niner fans. They get an easy rap, but they're also drunken fools. And so the last time that they actually used to play every year in the preseason, they had to cancel that because of the violence in the crowd between these two teams.
Yeah, that is wild. That is wild that you don't play them.
But it spills over to, I think it's Dodgers-Giants.
Well, Dodgers-Giants, oddly, is probably worse than any, Raiders anybody. Like, Dodgers-Giants, for some reason,
so it's similar to that. So it's going to be a very hostile crowd, I'll say that. So where are you on the Niners, actually? Do you believe in Jimmy G?
Yeah, I do believe in Jimmy G. We just spoke to the Niners guy. He was super optimistic about, like, listen, he thinks that Shanahan is basically McVay Jr. He thinks Shanahan is a super genius.
That's what everyone says.
I don't know. I don't know. I'm a little nervous. John Lynch, to me, I was nervous about him last year the same way I'm nervous about Gruden. Like, crappy announcer who's, like, given a zillion dollars for no reason other than, like, being famous. Listen, the Jimmy G trade, he can't get any credit for. They were right. They literally – Belichick handed it to him because he likes Mike Shanahan. Other than that, like he gave out some of the worst contracts in NFL history, like Jerick McKinnon and then the Juszczyk fullback.
Right, I just don't see the weapons there. Like everyone's
they have no weapons. I said to the Niners fan, I don't think there's a team in the league who would trade their running backs, receivers, and tight ends for yours. Like
you have him as the 15th team as the league. What does that say?
The Niners have some ability, but I agree.
But it's a pure crapshoot again. But again, it comes down to coaching.
So who do you think? But that game's in San Francisco. I don't think you're going to
the San Francisco is going to take the game. It's in San Francisco.
So you're 5-3.
I think that's
right. Yep. And then you have the Chargers again.
They'll win that one. It's split with the Chargers every year.
In Arizona and Baltimore.
Split the two. Let's say
it's really not terrible.
It's not terrible at all. Let's say they beat Arizona just to prove that and then they lose to Baltimore.
So wait, you beat the Chargers. So what are you now?
6-3, 7-4. But now the schedule turns.
Yeah,
that's
so now
the problem.
Now you have your first game against the Chiefs. They don't play that. You play them twice in December. But this one's at home.
So we beat the Chiefs at home, 8-4, and now the last four are just brutal.
Pittsburgh at home. That's probably going to be on
loss.
Sunday night.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that'll be a loss. Let's say Pittsburgh outscores us.
8-5. You go to Cincinnati.
So that's a win. 9.
Okay. You have the last Monday night game of the year against the Broncos.
So we lose that one.
Okay. And now you're 9-6, and this would probably be for the
playoffs. And this is for the playoffs against the Chiefs, right?
But it's in KC.
In KC, so they're not going to win that game. But again,
right,
the funny thing...
I mean, you said you were going to find them a way to 9-7, and you
did. I said 9-7. But again, you see how the schedule could break the right way, and they can even get to 10
schedule.
Wins.
If you could
it's
be,
a
listen,
good
the
schedule.
The AFC is soft. Yep. You could be a mediocre team and get to 10 wins and be the fifth seed this year.
Exactly.
They could even, or maybe even win the division. Maybe you
exactly. Yeah, exactly. With the Chargers, you never know. 10 wins could win a division. But again, the schedule's there for the taking. You'll really know right away because that opening stretch of four games.
Yeah, no, you will know. I agree.
They could easily be 4-0, but if they're 1-3, then yeah, this season's shot. And
let me give you like a nightmare scenario. Like, yep. What happens if like Gruden goes 4-12?
Gruden's still there. He's not going anywhere for at least.
I know he's not getting fired. He could go 0-16 and not get fired. But like, what would happen if like they're just if he's just bad and he's like
that's a nightmare. Like you said, then we're just. We'll live in nostalgia for sure. But yeah, that's would
you know
be
what their you know what their win total is? You're a gambling guy. Do you know what their win total off the top of your head?
8. They're set at 8, which is the right
they're
number.
They're set at 8. Yeah, that's a good number, but I'm telling you, I would go under. I think.
Okay. Even on that schedule that you just saw.
7.5, and I yeah. But listen, I'm down on them.
That's
feel
fine.
Free to prove me wrong,
like
Raiders.
I said, they're right there.
Someone's got to lose. Listen, the AFC's
someone's
bad.
Someone's
got to like,
lose. Exactly. Someone's got to lose. This game. So I think it's going to be the
rest of the listen, I always say this, but you're like, oh, great. We have Denver, Miami, and Cleveland. But also Denver, Miami, Cleveland. I'm like, oh, that's not so bad.
Yeah, we got Oakland. Week. Exactly. That's why it's going to be a fun year. I could easily see them. I see them 7-9, between 7-9 and 9-7. That's where I see them finishing.
Yeah, I think that'll be a decent year. You haven't totally sold me. A lot of these podcasts, like the Niners guy, like a lot of people this year, not the Jets fans, have like I've come in a little more down. And
Sam
then
Darnold?
It's sort of like Hard Knocks. Whoever's on Hard Knocks, I generally think with the Hard Knocks team that they're like, I come in, they're going to be like 6-10, and I come out and they're like, well, you know, like they're going to be 10-6. Like, it's a good thing they traded Corey Coleman because...
Well, I mean, Cleveland is meant for Hard Knocks. They are literally perfect for
But the problem is that Hugh Jackson is so bad, and I know you know this.
So bad.
There's no way they could be good. Even though I think they're like an average talent team in the NFL.
They have the talent.
Especially Baker Mayfield.
They definitely have the talent. That's the sad part. They have the talent to be a 6-win team at least.
He just instills no confidence.
No, I don't know how he sells his job. I really don't. How do you win one game in 2 years and still have a job? I don't know.
It looks dumb. I mean, even with that rookie guy, are you watching it? Like, even with like the guy getting busted, that guy's been in trouble 20 times already. I mean, they know he's lying. We know that they know he's lying.
And then what was his punishment, though? Like, his punishment was to play the whole game.
To play.
So that
to play
gets
in
your
the
tape.
Preseason.
I don't
By the way, the greatest
why
thing
is
that's
ever
punishment? Happened in
the NFL. And then the other thing, when you remember, what was the other thing he did? Where Todd Haley was saying, we don't punish these guys or something, and then Hugh Jackson's like, let them off. Like, we don't do it this way.
It was awkward.
Here.
I'm the coach.
Haley,
when he was like telling Haley, like, I'm the coach.
Sitting there like, what are you talking about? Like,
you know what it's like? It's like the assistant principal is like going for a coup against the principal, like right on camera. It's amazing.
Yeah, I think this is Hugh's last year. He will be jumping back into Lake Erie again.
Oh, you know, we skipped the segment the last few episodes, which I really regret. Okay.
Right.
I think I almost have to like go back and do it, but we'll do it here. So we have a listener, Sam from New Zealand, who wants to start following football this year. He listens to the podcast, but he's not a big football fan. He lives in New Zealand, and everyone is pitching why they should start rooting for their team. Now, I think with the Raiders moving to Vegas, that seems to be one of the two or three places that I'm assuming Sam from New Zealand, if he's ever in America, would like to maybe
like to get
vacation to. So pitch Sam on becoming a Raiders fan, or you might pitch him on saying, no, this life is not for you because I am a Raiders fan and I started maybe as a front runner, but I've never won a Super Bowl and this life is too rough for you.
Well, this life is very rough, but at the same time, it's rewarding. Like I said, we're moving to Vegas. What could be bad about that? You have the easiest chance to get to a game and it's the place you want to go to. At the same time, the Raider Nation has arguably a top five fan base. Entire world, like they're a world recognized team. You wear a Raider hat anywhere, someone will say, like, I know what that team is. They have great catchphrases from the great late Al Davis, just win, baby. Who doesn't love that? Commitment to excellence. The quarterback must go down, must go down hard. It's just the rich history of the team is great. There's always the conspiracy theories of how the league will screw the Raiders because of what Al used to do. And it's really a fun team to root for. You always have something to talk about with the Raiders. And with Chucky back, Gruden's going to make everything fun. You'll always have a soundbite from Gruden for at least the next 10 years. So you know you're going to get something.
True, true, true. All right, so let's see what Sam has to say in the comments on the Facebook page. All right, we missed the Jets. I just didn't do that segment the whole day yesterday, and I missed like five people.
Yeah, good job, Keeves.
Like the Jets. I'm gonna have to
Where's
do the
Chester?
Jets.
I'll keep you in line.
He's on vacation. No, his wife said immediate divorce if he does one podcast.
Keeves, you know no one should be a Jet fan. Jet fans don't want to be Jet fans. Why would you ever do that to someone?
If they ever won, it would be very special. Imagine if this guy comes in and they win in like year two.
It would be the end of the world if the Jets actually won something.
I would have no identity as a person anymore.
You would just stop following football. You would not. Yeah. You would be done. You'd be like, my life is.
I mean, I'd still have the Mets going 70-92 every year. So I'd have that.
At least the Mets have gotten closer. I think the Jets are worse. I mean, they're just. It's the Jets. It's just from the draft. The draft mess ups to the coaches to the like. Where do you find they? They share a stadium, and no one even calls it Jet Stadium. It's Giant Stadium, even though it's the Meadowlands. You're always the second tier. You can't do that to someone to make them a Jet fan. You just can't.
All right, Adam. Thanks so much for your time. You have anything to plug, Adam?
I do not. I'm not a plugger.
You don't have any social media.
No, just here to talk about the game.
Awesome. Do you have a gambling? Do you have like a bet you want to plug?
I really have not started my research yet. I can't tell you. Happy to come back on afterwards, but at this moment, I haven't had a chance to start looking. So,
all right. Best of luck to the Raiders this year. I hope Gruden. I don't know if he's going to give us wins, but I think he'll give us a lot of comedy. Like
he will give you entertainment, and he will definitely give you when he's mic'd up. He's going to give you gold
I agree. Unfortunately, when he was getting paid to like give us gold, he didn't. But I think when he's not,
because again, coach, he couldn't gold. Say what he really wanted to say then. Yeah. And now you're going to get Gruden back. You get Chucky back, and you'll get the fun inside that. It should be fun. That first game is going to be special in the black hole on Monday night. I'm very upset that I cannot watch it. I cannot. I went when they
not
told
watch
me,
it live. He means just in case people.
Not much alive, yes. We'll be the same.
All right, Adam, thanks so much for your time. Have a good one, everyone. We'll see you tomorrow.
Bye. Thanks. Have a good one.
We wait until the light burns out. We are long gone now. The halcyon days that we recall. We don't talk much about them now. It's a heady seed and a labored love. It sparks the flame, it chokes it out. Nobody knows when the melody will end. We were wild-eyed and golden then. I lost you in Paris. Dear Stephen, where'd you go? I was late to the show. Got caught up on the metro. Now I'm somewhere on the road, playing solo. In the gloaming of the night, I'll be spinning wishes at the Gramercy. I'm a long way from where you are, singing serenades for an empty bar. I lost you in Boston, St. Stephen, where'd you go? Playing songs for a ghost, a handsome poet from the East Coast. Are you back out on the road? Rock and roll magazine.